Hello and welcome to a brand new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have something different for you.
Oh my.
Oh my. Steve, what do we have in store for them?
We are taking your guys' best questions that you've submitted to us via email over the last couple of weeks. And
we're
answering them.
We're answering them like gangbusters.
And it is an eclectic mix of questions.
I was just going to say an eclectic mix.
You are a liar.
I am, but not at this point. So guys, we have a lot of show coming at you. Let's start the show. Steven, it's been a shitty week.
Oh no.
Yep. You know what happened this weekend with the car.
Oh yes.
Yeah, let's talk about this for a second for those out there who don't know, which is probably all of you out there.
I didn't see a live studio audience out on the street with you in your car.
So me and my girlfriend were driving to a show last Sunday, and out of nowhere, the car starts chugging, and then out of nowhere, it stops working. And this is, of course, in the middle of a busy street here in Chicago. We were lucky enough to be able to pull over to the side, but of course, we were at the tail end of a bus stop, which is just a huge no-no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bus drivers, they don't give a shit.
Oh, yeah. They'll sit there and they'll honk at you. And it's like an instant ticket in tow in Chicago. So my girlfriend and I, of course, it's Sunday. And, like, there's no businesses around us that are open. And we couldn't leave the car. So one of us had to stay out there with the car until a tow truck came. And, well, we called AAA, of course, immediately. And we were on hold for about 30 minutes before someone finally freaking answered. And when they did answer, they said, okay, well, the tow truck will be out there anytime between now, which is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, between now and 6 o'clock p.m.
So did you call Comcast to tow your car? Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, so we called a bunch of other tow truck companies, and they're like, yeah, it'll be over 2 hours plus $100. Ah, shit. So,
and keep in mind, it was, what, 9 degrees, 10 degrees?
It was 9 degrees.
Yeah.
And so we are literally freezing to death here in this metal death box. We can't leave it. My girlfriend and I started taking shifts where one of us would go inside of a business and get warm for like 20 minutes, and we'd switch. And I don't think I told you this. We called the Chicago Police Department just to be like, hey, this is what's happening. Is there any way you can send someone out to, like, flag this car maybe as a do not ticket? Or if there's someone nearby, if they can help us push this car into a parking space so we can leave this car, because we're literally freezing right now. They're like, no.
God, no.
God, we don't help you push cars.
What?
Well, so what do we do? It's like, well, you can't leave it. Otherwise, we'll ticket and tow you. It's like, well, when you do, if you find two frozen corpses in here, you know what happened.
And thus Melinda began the perfect crime. The two people you previously murdered, you put in the car. And like, well, they warned us it would be Wes and his girlfriend. It clearly must be them.
Exactly.
And that's how you got away with murder.
That's right. And that's how I won the game Clue. So yeah, man, to sum up, the tow truck finally came at, 5:30, and we got back.
So they were right. It was within that window.
Within that window. Thank you, Comcast. Yeah, man, it was shitty.
Yeah.
My girlfriend, because of course we were going to go see a show, so she was wearing nice clothes, and she was wearing these stockings or leggings or something, like thin stuff on her legs.
Obviously, thin stuff. She got the thin stuff on the legs.
You know.
You're familiar.
Yeah. And she was literally shaking. She had the shakes. She was so cold at some point.
Well, yeah.
And the CPD was like, can't help you.
Nope.
But if you leave that car, we'll be right there with a ticket.
It definitely does suck. And I feel like most times when people say, so my friend's car broke down, or my car broke down, very rarely does that story end with anything but that sucks.
Yeah.
Very rarely.
But, Steve, you were nice enough to, you came out with your wife's brother, Mark, and you guys helped us push the car into a parking spot. So yeah. We were able to get warm. So thank Chase. You again.
Hey, no problemo. No problemo. Well, something just as as bad as that was, something awesome happened to me today.
Ugh, what?
I ate Chipotle.
Yeah, you did.
It's not that awesome, but I've been jonesing for Chipotle for a long time, and I finally got some today, dude.
That's awesome, man.
I got a question for you.
What's up?
Going to Chipotle. What's your order?
Oh, dude, got to get the brown rice. First of all, chicken burrito.
Okay.
Brown rice, black beans, cheese, lettuce, and of course chicken. And I think mild salsa.
Wow. Wow. First, I'm going to deduct points for not doing it in order.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because you don't then go, but you don't, at this point, you've gone through, you said the chicken, the black bean, the rice, and then you've wrapped everything up. And they're like, oh, by the way, some mild salsa? So poor girl has to unwrap the burrito she's just started wrapping and go back and put your damn mild salsa on there.
Steve, you underestimate me. She wraps it up after every ingredient. I just want brown rice. Okay, unwrap it. I want some black beans. No, okay, unwrap it now.
I'm having some chicken. Well, I'm telling you what, man. I have cracked the Chipotle code.
Oh, yeah?
So if you're looking for the
I didn't know they were locked.
Guess what? That is the biggest trick Chipotle's ever played on people.
Oh, my.
Convincing them they are not locked.
Wow. I thought it was convincing us that Chipotle didn't exist.
Nope. They want you to know it exists.
Oh.
But there are secrets within the Chipotle.
Tell me all about them.
If you want the most bang for your buck, you can do whatever ingredients you want, but the theory is the same. You get the... I'll tell you how I order mine, but I'm telling you this how you get the max food.
Okay.
You order a burrito bowl. Even if you just want a burrito, get a burrito bowl. Then what you do is you can get as many damn small tortillas as you want on the side.
Oh.
I go for three. Had a friend that went with five. It's up to you.
Oh.
Up to you. So you get the small, the ones they use for the tacos.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like a burrito bowl to go, whatever. Can I get three, four, five small tortillas on the side? Oh, yeah, of course. Go down the line, make it whatever it is that you want to do. Then they as you go, you got a little trailer of tortillas and a little aluminum foil that follows you down. So then you get to your table. And then you take one of the tortillas and take your fork and you spoon out the delicious, fork out the deliciousness, and you essentially now have five tacos or whatever it is that you want. After those five tacos, you still have like half a burrito bowl to go.
Oh my God.
They give you so much food, so much more than in a burrito or any of the tacos.
Wow.
Because I think they give you three tacos when you order tacos.
Sure.
They give you so much more food in the burrito bowl.
That's awesome, dude.
It is way awesome.
Because my girlfriend and I, well, we went there for Valentine's Day because we're classy people. And we were complaining. We love Chipotle, by the way. But when you bite into that burrito, the tortilla just gets stuck right in the back of your teeth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, you try to be classy about it and do that tongue.
And dude, if people as a whole could harness that suction power that tortilla has to the roof of your mouth... My God. $1 million idea.
I know. You could be gross about it and like stick your finger back there and try and get it out, but that's just super gross.
But you know what? Now that I'm married and 30, I'm like, hey, check it out. Hold, give me a second. Just getting this tortilla out of my mouth. Oh, let me just pull it out of my mouth, look at it, and re-chew it. Anyway, here is Steve's winning Chipotle order.
Okay.
I highly recommend this to anybody and everybody. Here we go, kids. Thanks for asking. Here it comes. Hi, welcome to Chipotle. Hey, can I get a burrito bowl to go, please? Can I get three small tortillas on the side? Absolutely, sir. What can I get for you? White rice.
Oh.
Black bean. Let me get those fajita vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Hook me up with the chicken. What a solid base. God damn, that's a base.
Wow.
You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna add some pico on top of that. Okay. You know what? Let's add the corn salsa as well, because it's not really even salsa. It's like delicious corn.
It's like wet corn.
Then give me the hot. Give me the red hot salsa on top of it.
I got
it. Give me some chez. Give me some lettuce. Wrap that shit up, and I'm gone. And I'm eating for two, but really I'm just eating for me. Then, if you really want to put it over the top, you get the Chipotle Tabasco sauce they have on the little island.
Ooh, crazy.
Dude,
two
that's
nuts.
It. That's like one of my favorite meals, period.
Wow. Okay, I need to do that again.
That's it, kids.
Or I need to do that next time.
I'm telling you, man, you're not gonna look back.
Wait, does it cost more with the fajita vegetables?
Nope.
And really?
Nope.
You've just changed my life.
Nothing that I just ordered costs more.
Really?
Yes.
My God, sir.
And so I had it tonight. I made my three side tacos. I was like, man, that's good. Look at this mountain of food I have left to eat. And then I ate it.
Wow, you are a pig.
Yeah, I was, dude, when I like to go to Chipotle when I have that, like, that really deep hunger where I'm like, sure. I am so fucking hungry.
You put on your maternity pants.
I do, because I know I'm having a big Chipotle baby. So just as I ordered this, I was like, you know what? I don't think a lot of people know about the side tortilla trailer. You want the sidecar of tortillas. That's what you want.
Okay.
Or you could also go with a big tortilla, and you could kind of like break it apart and, you know, like use it to scoop up if you want, whatever.
My God, I think you just single-handedly made a bunch of Chipotle stores close. Because he's figured us out! Lock the doors!
The code is broken! I'm telling you, man.
Hey, you heard it here first, folks.
Saying, I want to make sure everyone knows the most important thing is the tortilla sidecar.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to call it from now on, the tortilla sidecar.
Can you order the tortilla sidecar and they know what you mean?
The places I go, they know, they're like, oh, shit.
You're like, hey, just give me the Steve. You know what it is.
Yeah, they would like back a dump truck of chicken up to your, like, perfect. Perfect.
Just whole chickens.
So I was excited about that tortilla sidecar going on today.
Okay.
Also, my wife and I have been trying to watch a couple of the Oscar-nominated movies this week before the Oscars this weekend.
Okay.
So now, I have seen, of the Best Picture nominees, I have seen Grand Budapest Hotel, American Sniper, Birdman, and The Imitation Game.
Ooh, what's The Imitation Game?
That is the one with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, is this the one where he's playing Alan Turing?
Yes.
Okay.
And for those who don't know, he's the gentleman that broke the Enigma code in World War II. That was basically the translated messages that the Nazis used, and he was the one that was said to be unbreakable.
Sure.
And he broke it.
The only reason I know that name is because I read the book Cryptonomicon by, oh God, I'm blanking on the name. People out there are shouting at me. But I just remember that book almost broke me because it was so boring. If you love code cracking, you'll love this book. But if you
like anything else.
That's right. Do not go near it.
Okay. What possessed you to pick it up in the first place?
You know, I've been working through that NPR's Top 100 Sci-Fi and Fantasy list for the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on that list, and it came up.
Oh.
And I plowed through it as best I could.
A code-cracking book? Is it? I mean, so it's obviously a fictional novel?
Yeah. It's like historical fiction, I would say.
Okay. When the way you laid it out at first, I thought it was like, this is how you break codes.
No, Steve. Code cracking isn't real, so it's sci-fi.
Oh, that's right. I forgot this whole Alan Turing thing. Totally sci-fi.
Yeah. He's like Driss Stewarton. He's not real.
Mm-mm, no. Not real. And I'm hoping to watch The Theory of Everything before the Oscars, which is the Stephen Hawking.
God, got it.
God.
God. God. God got it.
God got it. So, I'm at this point, my favorite movie that I've seen definitely is Grand Budapest Hotel.
Really?
Yeah.
That's Wes Anderson, right?
It is.
See,
the good Anderson.
Yeah, nailed it. I just don't think I've ever seen a Wes Anderson movie that I've liked.
What have you seen?
I've seen The Fantastic Mr. Fox, and I've seen part of The Royal Tenenbaums.
I saw we talked about this a couple months ago, but I had seen part of The Royal Tenenbaums maybe like a year after it had come out. Didn't get it, didn't like it, watched part of it like, this sucks. I didn't touch another Wes Anderson movie for years until just last year. And then my wife and I, on the same weekend, we watched Moonrise Kingdom and then Grand Budapest Hotel.
Sure.
Really dug both of them.
Okay.
Really did.
Maybe I should give them another chance. I think when I watched them, I just was too young. I didn't get them
yeah.
or whatever. So I know I'm in the minority, especially on the Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah.
That's a universally loved movie, I feel.
So I would like to see Life Aquatic and go watch Royal Tenenbaums, but I'm a huge Ralph Fiennes fan, as you know, and he's fantastic.
Huge Voldemort fan.
Love it. Mm-hmm. I still wish he defeated Harry Potter. Always rooting for Voldemort.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Go figure. But yeah, that was my favorite movie that I've seen so far. It's the most complete movie of the ones that I've seen so far.
Really, did the other movies end after the second act?
Yeah, and I was like, guys, act three, anyone?
A climax? A resolution to this conflict?
We're not going to do that? Okay.
Wow, so artsy.
No, I feel like with the other movies, there were some, without going into each one in depth, I thought, like, Bradley Cooper, fantastic acting performance. Michael Keaton was fantastic in Birdman.
Sure.
Benedict Cumberbatch, really good, but I feel like it wasn't too far away from his Sherlock character in the movie. But after watching all those movies, I was like, oh yeah, I liked them. But during watching, I was like, what's the deal with that part? And what's the deal with that part? And Moonrise Kingdom really engulfed me, and I really enjoyed it thoroughly from start to finish. So,
sure.
Most complete film.
I haven't been watching any movies, but I did play through all of Arkham Origins, and I actually really liked it.
So this is five, and we're out.
I realize I'm really on the opposite ends of most people. I don't like Wes Anderson, and I really liked Arkham Origins.
I feel like, to be fair, it's not that you don't like Wes Anderson. I would give
I don't like him as a person.
He's kind of a dick. I think you should give yourself an incomplete on the Wes Anderson.
Okay.
And yeah.
Sure. But I played through that, enjoyed that. I'm in the middle of The Swapper, which is
game. Hold on.
Whoa. What's happening?
Whoa.
Okay.
What did you like about Origins?
I actually liked the story. I liked how, well, of course, it's called Origins. This is when Batman was beginning. This is when a lot of his nemesis appeared in Gotham. And I really liked how he had a bunch of doubts about himself, about how everybody else was doubting him, and he had to fight against that as well as these external forces. It was good. I liked the story, it was another Batman game. Combat was good.
To be fair, it is a Batman game.
I mean, sure, it wasn't Rocksteady, the same guys who did Asylum and City, but the combat was still the same. And, you know, the basic flow of the story was the same. And, yeah, I know that you hated it because it glitched out on you. And
yeah, I mean, I know we talked about it this week, but it glitched out to the point that I could no longer play the game. I dropped $60 in 2 days into it. I couldn't play it for like 2 weeks until they sent a patch out. So.
Sure. And to be fair, I went into this expecting it to be just awful. So it was probably just maybe slightly above mediocre. But because it wasn't just awful, I'm like, oh yeah, this game is great.
I don't think I have real issues with the storyline of the game. It was much more technical things for me in this game that derailed it for me, like the glitch that made me stop playing it.
Sure.
The fact that multiplayer is completely broken when I had it.
I didn't try that, so.
Completely didn't work at all. It was shouldn't have even had it. And to me, the fighting system just didn't feel as tight.
Sure.
It's still good, just didn't feel as good.
Yeah, Batman did feel a little bit looser
than
he was in other games, just moving around.
Yeah, this is a... Never mind. I won't even make this... I was going to make a car reference, but that means nothing. It means nothing to you, so I'm not going to do it.
Okay. But yeah, I liked that. Playing the Swapper. The Swapper. And that... It's a decent game. It's different than what I thought it was going to be.
Isn't it side-scrolling?
No. Yeah, but it's like puzzle-solving where you can create clones of yourself and then you can... It's called, swapping your soul into that other clone, and you solve puzzles that way.
The Swapper!
And, it's really, at least for me, because I'm a big, big dummy, And like we talked about before the podcast started, it's the end of winter. So like my brain is
it's nice that you're thinking it's the end of winter.
Oh God.
It's not, friend.
My brain is just like so unfocused and like slow.
Frozen.
It's frozen. That I'm just like, I don't know what's happening. Where do I go from here?
I'm stupid. Someone help me. Just for those who are not aware, first off, we don't have it as bad as people that are in Boston. So, not saying that. Though, God, I heard on the radio that in the last 3 weeks, Boston has had more snow dumped on it than the city of Chicago has ever had in one full winter.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Holy
and if
crap.
You remember 2-3 years ago, the amount of snow we got, like, they've had more in 3 weeks than that entire winter combined.
Holy crap, dude.
Unreal what is happening in Boston. Like, so my sympathies go out to you guys. However, as I drove over here, Wes and I had 0 degrees to share. There are no degrees to be had outside. It's currently zero. Mm-hmm. And we are under a wind chill advisory warning for the next 24 hours because overnight... and tomorrow, the wind chill is going to dip down to a balmy negative 30.
Ooh, whip out that sunscreen, baby.
Man. Mm. God, so glad I'm not in Jamaica.
But sure, I mean, but that's still just not fair. Like, of course, Boston has it worse. But, you know, there's some Eskimos up in the North Pole. Like, you know what? Fuck Boston. We have it much worse up here.
Yeah, and their news coverage of it, though, I think that's their big problem. The Eskimo news is a little bit subpar.
Everybody has it worse. I mean, there's always somebody out there who has it worse than what we do.
Yeah.
So, but that just doesn't mean that what we have doesn't suck.
Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, quick little story. As everyone knows, I love being right. It's great. There's one person that loves being right more, and it's our friend Dan, who's been on the podcast several times. And I also work with Dan. Dan very, very often makes bold statements, and oftentimes you cannot prove that he is right or wrong, but he'll take the point that he's right.
Okay.
But you can't prove him wrong, because there are these hypothetical, you'll be like, you know what, if I went to Mars, I would, it's like... I would colonize with her. I would have sex with an alien and start our own race. Like, no, you wouldn't. Yeah, I would. Well, no, you wouldn't. Prove it. I can't prove that you wouldn't do it. Like, there's no way to prove these things. I can't. I just know you wouldn't do it.
Well, then I'm right.
No, you're not right. You're just.
Well, prove me wrong then.
I can't because this is so. Shut up. So today at work, Dan had one of these statements. He goes, yeah, you know what? I don't even know how this came up. I can throw a rock 300 or 100 yards, a.k.a. 300 feet. It's like, no, you can't. He's like, I can throw a rock 300 feet. No, you cannot. That's the length of a football field. Like, that is a Major League Baseball player catching a deep fly ball and throwing it to home plate, no bounce. Like, no, you cannot. He's like, oh, yeah. So I measured out 100 yards out in, like, the back of our store. And he went and found some rocks. And I bet him lunch that he couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Dude got about halfway there. He got 3 attempts. And the best part, the first, so I went down to where he was supposed to be, the 300 feet area. He threw it. It only went, like, halfway. I was like, yeah, Dan, you went about halfway. He's like, oh, no, it was way further. I was like... No, it was not. That's why I'm down here.
Well, we can't prove it.
And I could, because I was recording it.
Oh, no!
And all 3 of his throws were basically in the same spot.
Sure.
So I won myself a lunch, and I got to be right.
Oh, my God. Was that your Chipotle lunch?
Oh, no. Oh. I could have Chipotle lunch tomorrow again.
Oh, wow!
Oh, man.
You were just living the dream.
You know what? I just love it when... You catch someone like with a bold, ridiculous thing. Like, no, that's not. Yeah, it is. No, it isn't. But you're going to. You know what? You owe me lunch.
That's
bitch.
Awesome. Man, you are living the dream.
It's great.
Steve.
It makes me. I was flying real high the rest of the day.
Sure.
Real good.
Well, I'm glad you came here. Glad you brought yourself down to come here today to do this podcast.
Yeah.
But before we move on to our main event of the week, Steve, we had a couple of emails written in from last week's top five.
Oh, my.
Which was the top five least sexy costumes.
By the way, my wife, after listening to the podcast, she sent me the same text message about seven times in a row at about 5-minute intervals. I should say while listening to the podcast.
Sure.
She just wrote, "You nasty." Wait 5 minutes. "Oh, you nasty."
For those of you out there who haven't listened to last week's podcast, I strongly recommend you do so. It wasn't put up on the oneofus.net's carousel for whatever reason. But so if you didn't see it, I really recommend that you go back and listen to it because it was a good time.
Yes, indeedy.
But so Nathaniel wrote in his...
Ah, Nathaniel.
Yes, of course. He writes in his top five.
Least sexy costumes?
Least sexy, costumes. I'm going to read his item, and then I'm going to read his explanation.
Oh, good.
Because you need both. So his number five is sexy vampire. You're thinking Kate Beckinsale. She's thinking Twilight. Specifically, she covers herself head to toe in glitter. You're still finding it weeks later.
I fucking hate glitter.
I am not a fan either.
I hate glitter. It gets in your pores, like in your hands, and it's there for weeks.
Yep.
God, I hate glitter.
And just think of her coming at you, just all glittery, with fangs.
No.
And all emo.
No.
Yeah, buddy.
No.
Least sexy.
Yucky.
His number four is sexy cheerleader. He says, very, very sexy. It's a real shame she managed to choose the colors of your team's most hated rivals.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
See, I would like to say then you could this could lead to some hate sex.
Oh, yeah.
Some hate role play, if you
sure.
will.
Sure. Sure.
So maybe that is the most sexy.
depending, I mean, 50 Shades of Grey is out.
That is true. His number three is sexy Colonel Sanders with full facial hair. He says, but honey, I thought you loved KFC.
Wearing an all-white suit with that little weird black bow tie-ish thing.
Yeah. Who is at least sexy on, a man or a woman? I mean, I'd say a woman.
I would, yeah. I mean, although, to be quite honest, if a dude walks in wearing a Colonel Sanders outfit, like, it's so unsexy to me that I wouldn't even realize that he was attempting to be sexy. Why are you dressed as Colonel Sanders? You mean a sexy Colonel Sanders? Like, no, I don't. Why are you dressed as Colonel Sanders? Are you not turned on? No, I'm not turned on.
Stop it, Dan.
You know what? I could throw Colonel Sanders 100 yards. No, you cannot.
His number two is sexy Batman. It all seems genuinely sexy until she opens her mouth and everything she says is a perfect gravelly Christian Bale impersonation. Terrifying.
And talking about her dead parents.
Yeah. I am the knight. Stop it.
No, baby. Baby, please.
Speaking of the knight, his number one is sexy knight with a K. This costume involves full armor. The armor has been stylized to appear as a very attractive female form. The breastplate is full and perky. The greaves are shapely. I'm sure there's a technical name for a suit of armor's derriere is amazing.
Okay.
However, there's no getting away from the fact that not an inch of flesh is on show, and it's impossible to have sex while wearing it. And it's super noisy.
Yeah.
Unless there was like a vagina visor, like the face visor.
I was going to say, that's what I was waiting for, was like a small opening in the where the deed would be done. And as you're going, like, it's like metal, like it's hitting them and you hear like, ding, ding, ding. Ow, ow, ow.
And you know that shit's going to be super cold.
Oh, man. And every time she moves, like, there's a squeak from like out of like the knee area, or like all the joints are squeaky.
Oh, God. And she starts saying, oil can. Like, this is not how I wanted tonight to go.
Baby, I just, oh, no, girl. And then she brings out like a, a damsel in distress costume for you to wear. It's like, oh
come on,
baby, no. This is a sexy time. That's a good five.
It's a good five. All right, Steve. Enough of these gross out costumes. Let's get to this week's main event. Notice I'm not saying top five.
Right.
Because, Steve, what are we doing this week?
Over the last couple of weeks, we've kind of compiled some of the questions that you guys have been sending in, which we absolutely love, love, love to get.
Mm-hmm.
We love getting your top fives, the ones that we have done, and also top fives due in the future. But we also like the kind of offshoot random questions as well.
Yeah, yeah. Normally we just answer them directly on the email. But Steve and I were like, why don't we just do an email show? We've never done before. We've done 90 of these goddamn top fives.
Yeah, let's
do one goddamn email show.
Let's save a couple of these babies for a little while and put them all together. So we've chosen some of the best of the best, some of the more interesting questions.
That's right.
And actually, I've read some that Wes has not, and mm-hmm. vice versa as well as we were saving our emails. So
that's right.
So there will be some fresh new ones on here. So we're just gonna some of the questions we like from you guys. We're gonna answer them now.
Fantastic. And as with every week, we both picked five.
Of course,
we got not to throw you guys off too much.
We can't just throw caution all to the wind.
That's right. But Steve, why don't you pick your first email?
Sure. This question comes to us from a man or woman, not sure, named Alex.
Okay.
And this person writes, Wes, if you had to pick one thing for Steve to drop his life and go see/play immediately, what would that thing be? And the same question to you, Steve.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Whoa. That is
the sound of Wes's brain working.
<That's> right.
Or not working.
I mean, my first thought was A Few Good Men, of course. But
Why is that an of course?
Because you haven't seen it, and it's great.
Oh,
and okay. We talked about it recently.
Okay. So that seems like I don't feel like anyone says A Few Good Men, of course.
Why don't you tell me what you have for me? And I will think of what I have for you.
Okay. Well, if for you to literally stop the middle of the podcast to go and watch something, I would make you watch. Part of me, since we just spoke about it, part of me wants to say Grand Budapest Hotel, because not that it's the greatest movie of all time or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about Wes Anderson. It's fresh on the mind. Actually, what I would make you go play, I want to say Final Fantasy VII.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't feel like it's going to have the same resonance with you because it's, 20 years later now?
Yeah, it's so old and the graphics are probably very dated.
Yeah, they are. It's a good question. This is a good question.
I finally came up with one for
okay.
you. If you were to drop everything right now and watch something, it's between Community, Six Feet Under, or Justified. But I think Community is the thing I'm going to say.
Okay.
Community is great.
Okay.
And it's amazing, and I've lent it to you, and you still haven't watched it.
It's true.
Yes.
It is true. Man, I just don't know. There's so many things I want you to see, but I also want to lead you in the direction of something that you will enjoy, not because you should watch this.
Mm-hmm.
I really think you still... I'm pretty sure you haven't watched it yet, despite the fact I bought it for you for Christmas, is There Will Be Blood.
Yes.
Acting performance is just so goddamn good. Oh, no. I know exactly what I would do. Sorry. Now I know the answer. I would, and I wish you would drop the mic right now and go do it right now. I really wish you would. I would send you immediately to go see the Book of Mormon.
Oh, interesting.
I would immediately, I want you to go right now.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I want you to go see the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, if it comes back here to Chicago, I
no,
will definitely go see
when.
It.
It's coming.
Oh, it's coming back?
Yeah, they're already selling tickets.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be here in a couple weeks, actually.
Holy crap. Well, I should go see that.
Yes. Yes, you should. So the answer to the question is, I want Wes to go see the Book of Mormon.
And I want you to watch Community.
All right.
And play either The Wolf Among Us or Walking Dead Season 2.
Okay. So, Alex, thank you very much for your pressing question.
This one comes from John, who's also a fellow trophy hunter. He's one of us. He asks us, You've mentioned a bunch of times that you both are into getting platties. I am also into getting platties. What is the hardest platty that you've had to get?
Boom, XCOM, no doubt.
Yeah, that's right. You spent many, many months getting that one.
Oh, dude, it's my most proud platty, by far the most difficult one I've got, no doubt, easy.
My answer is way different. My answer is Sly Cooper, Thieves in Time. Because
really?
A lot of platties out there, they require a lot of, at least a fair amount of grinding.
Yeah.
This one had the most grinding.
Really?
That I've ever experienced.
Was this the free one on PlayStation Plus?
It was.
2-3 months ago, whatever it was?
It was. And the gameplay was fine. The game story was fine. But at the end, when it came to, you know, getting those collectibles, there was like hundreds of them. Or it felt like hundreds of them. And it just took forever. And I hated it.
How many platties do you have now?
17.
Oh, you caught up fast.
I know. Watch out. Look behind you.
Yeah. We've talked about it, but you just have such a different approach to it than I do. Like, I don't want to platty games. I don't. Like, to me, a platinum trophy is a high compliment to a game.
Interesting.
That's, to me, that's what it means. And most of the time.
Sure.
I love XCOM. Love that. I loved Fallout 3. I love the Uncharted games. Love them. Part of the reason for me to get the Platinum is because I want to get as much out of this game as I can because I love these games and like I want to be in these games. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
So to like something like Remember Me that I know you've Platinum, like get out of here. Like not like to me, it's paying a compliment where it is not due.
Interesting. Okay.
It's not about collecting them to me in a way. It is about, yeah, giving credit where it is due.
Oh, for me, it's all about collecting them.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just different approach.
Different approaches.
I don't think I've really like slogged through a game I didn't at least really like to get a platinum. God of War trophies, that kind of stuff. Like, love those games.
And I want to be clear. Like, I liked Sly Cooper, Thieves in Time, fine. But at the end, like, after spending a few hours getting all these collectibles, I was still, like, maybe 60, 70% done with all these collectibles. That's when it started getting painful. But at that point, I was like, I've gotten 70% of this shit. I gotta finish it out.
Sure. Yeah. But you also went out of your way to get the game wanted.
That's true.
Just to platy it, because you know it was an easy platy.
That's very true.
Yeah. I'm waiting for you to just do, like, the Hannah Montana. Don't you also... Did you play Terminator Salvation or was that Mike?
That was... I have not played that. So
I know Terminator
Mike.
Salvation is like the easiest platy available on PS3.
Oh, you told me that you don't even need to finish the game.
I think it takes like 2 hours or something. And like to me, that I'm like, no. That I'm not interested in doing that.
Sure.
Not interested.
Sure. See, the way I approach it is sorry for those non-trophy hunters out there. This is probably boring for you. And I'll try and wrap this up really quick. The way I approach games is like I just do a quick modicum amount of research on them to see if they are platyable. If they are, I see if there are any glitched trophies or missable trophies. And I just keep those in mind because I don't want to be in the position that you are in right now with Far Cry 3,
yeah,
where like you're just stuck because you've killed every enemy on the island and you need to like kill enemies in a certain way, but you can't because there's nobody left.
Well, this also, it kind of goes beyond just playing video games as well, because I mean, there's a lot of people that are completionists in other things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Watching TV shows, seeing like the AFI Top 100 list, you know, whatever it is. I mean, there's work-related things. People like it's totally fine. If it goes into a bigger spectrum, I suppose. Like, it's totally fine to want to complete things,
mm-hmm,
and devote your time to it. Just make sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. Whatever makes you happy, just make sure it's a good thing. That's all.
Steve, is this an intervention?
Wes, that's why everyone you love is here. It's me and your dogs.
Notice my girlfriend.
She was like, oh, please, no. Don't let me come there. Okay.
Well, thank you, John, for writing in.
So, my most proud trophy, XCOM, yours...
No, the most difficult.
Oh, most trophy. Difficult. Well, it's both.
Yes.
It's both.
Sly Cooper, Thieves that's in Time.
It. Okay, so, our next question comes from a young lady named Erin. And it says, Wes and Steve, you have played some video games together. Which one bonded you to the most, and why?
Ooh.
Yeah.
What was the first game we ever played together?
Great question. I can't remember that far back. It was on PS2.
Was it Devil May Cry?
Not the original one.
Wasn't the original.
No, because I remember very specifically the first time I played Devil May Cry.
Okay.
Very specifically.
Interesting.
But we... So, a few games that immediately come to mind. We played Borderlands together.
Mm-hmm.
Devil May Cry 3.
Mm-hmm.
The game Black.
That's right.
The shooter.
We played Devil May Cry, part of Devil May Cry 2. We played DMC4. We played Shadow
Portal
of the Colossus.
2, Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah. But what game bonded us together? What game made us like glue in another object?
Rubber. I'm actually going to say the game that bonded us the most. It is a two-way tie.
Okay.
More recently, Borderlands.
Okay, I was thinking that.
You know what? No. No, it's not a two-way tie. It's not Borderlands.
It's a one-way tie.
It's a one-way tie, and it's Devil May Cry 4?
Interesting. Okay.
No, 4 was on PS3.
Yeah.
So it's Devil May Cry 3.
I was thinking... Okay, tell me why.
This is why it's Devil May Cry 3. As we told this story before, Wes and I, you know, so it's a single player game, but we're playing you play to the checkpoint or whatever, then you switch off the controller or to the, the end of the level.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to this area and we could not figure out how to progress forward. Could not figure out what to do. And it was just this thing where like, there wasn't a boss to defeat. It was just, we were stuck at the end of this hallway kind of thing. Like, where the fuck do we go?
Yeah.
And like we backtracked to this, like couldn't figure out what to do, and we did not want to look up what to do. We're like, how can we not figure this out? And we're sitting there like 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes. I have no idea how long. And then my girlfriend at the time, wife now, is like, why don't you just climb up the wall? And we're like, yeah, right, Holly. Why don't we just climb the wall? As we climbed the wall. So that was also the same game that we got, as we told the story before as well, that we got to the final boss and we just could not beat Virgil. We could not defeat Virgil. And then we were there trying to beat it for like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wes goes, fuck it, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And he left it. As soon as he left, next attempt, I beat Virgil by myself.
Ugh.
So that is the game I think that bonded us the most, because unlike Borderlands, it was old school. We were sitting down together, same room, played the whole thing together.
Drinking pop.
Drinking sodas.
That's right.
Eating Tombstone pizzas.
Chewing candy cigarettes.
And then, because I loved playing Borderlands, and it was a good bonding experience. It was your very first platinum trophy.
Yes.
But there's something you lose with the headset and, different... not being in the same spot.
I thought you were going to say, there's something you lose after your first platinum trophy. You lose your innocence.
Oh, man. No, definitely not.
See, I want to say that our biggest bonding experience was God of War.
Oh,
because I think you had played part of it before, and you wanted to play it through with me, and I didn't know what it was, so we played it through together, and just those moments where he gruesomely kill somebody, like tearing the Cyclops' eyes out as he's stabbing him in the throat. We'd just be like, oh my god!
I think a totally underrated experience or like moment while both watching anything or playing a video game is the moment where everyone in the room, whether it's just two of you or a whole group of people,
18
all,
of you,
18, a whole movie theater is full of people, and you all go, ah! Like, it's just that awesomely, it could be gruesome, it could be like a super sweet jump, I mean whatever it is, but everyone just goes, oh. And God of War the first time through has a ton of oh moments.
All right, well, thank you. Who wrote that in?
That was from Aaron.
Well, thank you, Aaron. Well, my number, sorry, I get in these modes of like, well, my number. The next email is from a young lady named Rochelle. I'm assuming she's a young lady. She might be an older woman.
Do you boys like buttermilk?
What's the answer for 16 down? I don't know what you're doing.
What's the clue?
She asks this really random question. I really appreciated it because it's not the realm of TV, movies, and video games. She just asked us, have you guys ever... whatever she says, like, you guys are really funny. Have you guys ever tried stand-up comedy?
Oh, no.
Oh, God, no, Steve says.
God, no.
I actually have tried it. In my hometown of, you know, 36 people, all of them old. So those couple times that I did try it, I was warned by the people, like, it was, these both times were, like, at a variety show. And I was warned by the person running the variety show, like, okay, you can't talk about sex, religion, politics, anything that could cause, you know, any controversial things. I was like, okay, so I can't talk about anything then? Great. Now we'll talk about snack cakes and ponies for, for 10 minutes.
And I'll kill it.
Awesome. So I get up there both times just dying in front of these older folks. And I feel like even if I was doing Pete Holmes in his heyday, or Pete Holmes is still in his heyday, but like just the best stand-up comedians act the best way possible, these people would still just be like, great. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
No, I hate things that I write. And because of that, I don't write things because I can't get them to be done. I'll write a full page of something. Or even, if I could possibly even get to a full page, I'll write a paragraph. Like, oh my God, that's the worst thing anyone's ever written in my in anyone's life. Yeah. This is the worst thing ever. No. Delete. So I'll sit there for an hour, mm-hmm. a week. How's that coming, Steve? Ah, yeah. Don't have a damn thing. I have a whole lot of things that it isn't, but I have nothing that it is.
Sure.
So it's not the idea of getting up and performing, you know, comedic things in front of people. Mm-hmm. It's why I had to do improv, because I didn't have the chance to edit it. Mm-hmm. I just had to go, and I could do that. Mm-hmm. But to take that and turn it into written material is just not... I'm way, way, way too hard on myself to do it.
Sure. I've been wondering, I've been thinking about getting back up and trying it again, just to see.
Just to kick yourself in the dick real hard.
That's right. Because so many weird, crazy shit has happened to us in our lives. Like, I could just go up there in an open mic and tell a couple stories, and that'll be my 5 minutes. Thanks, folks.
By the way, have you ever heard the John Mulaney What's New Pussycat joke slash story?
No.
I'm not gonna get in the whole thing, but if you're looking for a really funny 5 minute, it's a story, it's not a joke, mm-hmm. but it's told during stand-up, so it's a joke, whatever. John Mulaney What's New Pussycat, look it up. It is a really, really enjoyable 5 minute story. Absolutely check it out.
All right, well, thank you so much, Rochelle, for writing in.
So we are going to go to a gentleman by the name of Colin.
Ooh.
And he says, Steve, if you and Wes were to collaborate on a game, what would the end result be?
Our deaths.
Us ripping each other's throats out. I think what Colin is implying is, what kind of game would we create? And like, and maybe I'm assuming touch on a few points of the game.
I feel like...
As we just talked about how good a writer I am.
Yeah. Because my first thought was like, oh, I really want the story to be really good.
Well, that'll be up to you.
Great. Steve, how's that story coming?
I deleted everything you wrote. Because it's crap. What kind of game would you want to make with me, sir?
I want to make a sweet, sweet game with you, sir.
baby, just... I want to be with you and nobody but you with this game.
That's right. As long as you wear your sexy Batman costume, your sexy Colonel Sanders costume.
All of our costume, or all of our characters talk like Batman.
That's right.
No, seriously, what would you, if Sony says, you know what, we're not going to sponsor your podcast, but we'll give you $10 million to make a AAA video game.
I feel like, at least on your end, you're going to really make it combat specific. So combat's going to be a heavy hitter in the game. But I feel that on my end, I would come up with, the story and the story beats as well. And I feel between the both of us, it would be comedic. Like, it'd be like Deadpool or something like that. Not just like Deadpool, but like funny like that game. Or maybe Conker's Bad Fur Day, like that kind of humor.
Okay. So we're thinking a third person action adventure game?
I think so.
Okay.
With a fairly linear story.
Okay. So we're going to take the Uncharted engine.
Yes.
And add jokes. Got it.
Which you know, take the Uncharted formula and then add jokes.
You know, that's a $1 million idea, baby. They're going to give us $10 million and we'll bring back at maybe $1 million.
We'll call it Recharted.
Perfect.
No, but would you have it be gun combat, physical combat?
Honestly, what I would really
mental combat
looking for a lot of mental combat,
sexual combat,
mental combat. Da, 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 da. What I would want to do is I would want to create more like an RPG style game. Where you can kind of customize your character over a longer, like, 50-plus-hour game.
Oof.
I would rather have a really long content kind of game like that.
Are you compensating for something, Steve?
I have a very, very tiny pee-pee. So I want a very, very long game. No, I would want a long game where the choices that you make are, you know, shape the world that you are in. And I think I would want it to be like, a game that starts on Earth as you have no idea off the bat that nothing about it is like a sci-fi type game. It's just maybe it is kind of Uncharted-esque, whatever. Like it's like 12 hours of the game. You're like, oh yeah, and then all then something happens. You unlock some treasure or something. It's like, and by the way, now you're in fucking space. It's like, what just happened? You kind of like fish out of water, you know, like in some ways kind of Guardians of the Galaxy-esque in that way where it's Earth dude out in this crazy world with all these aliens and stuff. So I would probably try to...
Sure. Would it then focus on like spaceship travel and combat, or would it be like...
There'd be some of it.
Or would it be like you can travel to different worlds and you have that map of worlds. Yeah. Like, choose your world to go to.
Absolutely.
Just all of it.
All those things. All those things you love from other games? Yeah. With none of the stuff you don't like.
Wow, that sounds great.
Really good. That's going to be my first... It's going to be you and me up in front of like 35 people on the staff. And be like, all right, guys, this is our plan. What games do you guys like? Awesome. Awesome. What do you like about that? Great. Let's write those things down. Okay, we're going to do all of that. Break.
Yeah, it's going to be like Telltale Games with Star
Perfect.
Fox.
Perfect.
Yep. Final Fantasy.
Absolutely.
Yep, and Borderlands combat.
Absolutely.
And with the Arkham combat.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yep, first person Arkham combat in space, but it's Japanese. But you're also a fox who talks like Batman.
And it's very story driven.
And Chris Pratt does the voiceover. Done. This game practically writes itself.
In fact, we'll let it write itself.
Guys, we're done.
Perfect. Wow, Steve, this sounds great.
Yeah.
Why haven't they given us $10 million?
I don't know why we have shitty games out there with you and me available.
That's
I don't understand. Well, thank you, Colin. I appreciate the write-in and look forward to our game called Super Mega Awesome Fun Time. It's called Everything Right and Nothing Wrong. It'll be coming out in 2015.
Oh, my God. Wow. So in 10 months?
Oh, no. It should be out next week.
Oh, wow.
Guys, we mapped this thing out on a whiteboard. Isn't that? That's it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Timothy writes in a question. It's a very simple question. What are your favorite shows that are currently on right now?
Wes, go ahead. You go ahead.
The Americans is back. I'm going to keep this brief because I don't want to repeat myself too much. The Americans is back, and it's super great, and it's very, very brutal. Justified is back, and it's good. It's good. I hope it's going to be a strong final season. I'm really liking The Walking Dead. And let's see, I guess it's not on right now, but Community is coming back here in a month, and Mad Men and Game of Thrones are coming back, of course. Looking forward to those. But yeah, as far as right now, those are my favorite shows that are on.
My favorite show that's on television right now is Top Gear. I love Top Gear. Okay. Always have loved Top Gear, and I will continue to love Top Gear.
All right. That was
So number one, Top Gear. Vikings comes back soon, like tomorrow, I think. I'm excited for Vikings to come back, and I'm excited for Vikings to lead me right into Game of Thrones, which should be, what, only like a month and a half away, right?
Sometime in April, right?
Is it April? Because I know so. Last year it was the end of March. It was like the last day of March. So, right?
Oh, it might be.
So, and it's probably, you know, beginning of April, end of March. That'll be back, and that will immediately become my favorite show on television again. And, yeah, and that's... I've been watching a real shitty show, by the way, real quick.
Oh, yeah? Which one's that?
This is the first time I've ever watched a show in this fashion, and I kind of like that I watch it this way. It's called, like, Top Shot or something like this.
It just sounds terrible.
It's a quote-unquote reality show on, I think it was on History Channel.
Okay.
Basically got a bunch of marksmen that shoot guns and stuff, and they... Like, here, it's a shooting competition, and you live in a house together. But all the people are super duper fucking lame, and they're not, like, interesting to watch at all. But watching them, because it's not just like, shoot a rifle. It's like, oh, you guys know how to shoot rifles. Here, shoot bows and arrows. Throw knives. Throw, like, do an Old West shootout, like, shooting cans and bottles and, like, off this saloon and stuff. Like, so I have watched 13 episodes, and it's taken me about a grand total of 40 minutes, because all I do is I watch the challenge, and then I watch the elimination challenge. I don't watch anything else in the entire episode.
See, they are missing a great opportunity here. They can take the drama of the real world and then add weapons.
Right?
I mean, come on, guys.
But these dudes are the lamest. Like, yeah, you know what? A competition here is really strong. They're all really good guys, and, I'm just really honored to be here and shoot with these guys. I'm learning a lot. God, shut up.
Like, can't one of you sleep with the other one?
And they're all super safe about the guns. And
no one likes that.
Yeah, you know, let's brandish a weapon wildly, sir. Let's shoot some victory shots in the air.
Let's take some shots before we shoot some
right?
things.
Right? So they're the lamest bunch of dudes. But I like watching them shoot cool stuff. So
I like how... The lamest dudes are like, yeah, they're really safe about their guns, and they're just kind of just good people.
They're respectful of everyone around them.
God,
lame!
How lame are they?
Dude, let's put it in the game. Let's throw it in our video game. Super respectful dudes. Gun safety. Gun safety is now moved to number one on our list in the game. We're calling it gun safety. This is going to be on 3 Blu-ray discs. It's such a long game.
Wow. I can't wait to play this game.
It's going
to
be awesome.
But thank you so much, Timothy. There are some shows for you and one crappy show for you.
Yeah, it's crappy.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it's crappy. Another question coming in right now. This is actually from my lovely wife. She wanted to ask Wes this.
Oh, God.
Wes. Why did you spend so much time watching lame-ass TV series and totally skip all the life-changing, award-winning movies? Signed, Holly.
Oh, wow. Holly, you know this about me. I'm a completionist. And really, the only lame sauce TV show that I stuck with was Charmed.
Ugh.
And for those of you who don't know my history of Charmed, because it was a while ago that I talked about this, this is back when I just finished watching Buffy, just finished watching Angel, and I was really missing that. I had that void, that area inside myself that needed to be filled. And I asked around to some people, I was like, recommend me something. And more than one person said, you know what? You would really love Charmed. And I said, okay, I'll try it out. So I watched the first season and a half. I was like, guys, this show really sucks.
Hey, real quick.
And they were like, well, you know, these are the Shannon Doherty seasons. You have to wait till she leaves and they bring in Rose McGowan. I think that's what her name is.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, fine. But they're like, you have to watch it, though, because of the plot. I was like, fine, I'll fucking stick it through until Rose McGowan comes in. She comes in season 4.
Yuck.
And like, so I watched season 4 and part of season 5, and they're like, I was like, guys, this show still sucks. They're like, well, no, you have to give it time.
Who are these people?
They're my worst enemies.
Who are these people?
They were friends in college, dude.
Wes, I feel like, completionist or not, to complete a show takes minimum, roughly, let's say 10 hours, minimum.
Sure.
To complete a movie, it's 2 hours.
Sure.
And it's complete.
Sure, but with Charmed, I just have it on in the background most of the time. Like, I don't...
I'm leaving Charmed to the side. Just in general, watching... I love watching a good TV show. You get, if it's a good show, you get 10 hours instead of 2.
Sure.
But I feel like you forsake movies for TV shows.
I just don't... I guess I just don't go out of my way to watch movies.
You should.
I know that.
You should.
I know, especially because there's so many good movies out there.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to say, man. I love TV. And I just... Yeah, man.
Wes, New Year's resolution starting February 18th. A movie a week.
A movie a week?
Yeah.
Interesting.
How about 2 movies a month?
No, I can do a movie a week. Let's stick with a movie a week.
Movie a week. Doesn't have to be, they don't all have to be Academy Award winning movies.
Sure.
Just get a movie in there.
Can one of them be The Oogie Loves?
That's not a movie. That's a travesty. So, no. So, that was from Holly, because she knows that there are some holes in your movie game.
Sure, there are.
She wanted me to ask you that, so there it is. There it is.
Yeah. So that's how I watched Charmed. I think I was honestly tricked by these people. So Paul writes in his question, and this is something that we've been debating for a long time.
You mean that I've been winning? I don't even know what it is, but I know I'm winning.
And I think he wrote this while maybe under the influence of alcohol, because things are very misspelled. But the basic gist of it is, who is the sexiest Disney princess?
Oh, man. And have we been debating this?
I mean, I think it's a debate that needs to be had.
I mean, this is a debate that has been had.
Sure.
But I don't feel like we've had it.
Well, I feel like we should have it.
Okay, go ahead.
Great. I off the top of my head, I think Jasmine.
Oh, no. No. That's wrong.
What?
Wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Terrible.
No.
No. What's your choice?
I mean,
Ursula?
Yeah. Dude, no. To me, the first two that come to mind right away are Belle and Ariel.
Ariel.
I mean, Ariel's a goddamn. She's a mermaid, who are inherently sexy.
Yeah, enjoy that slime. Slimy fin love.
But I'm thinking on land, Ariel.
Ooh, yeah. When she's gasping for air.
No.
She's,
what? No. Not at with the. When she's got legs and she can't talk.
Oh, great. You're a perfect woman.
Thank you.
She's got legs and she can't talk.
She's a redhead, so she's crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
At least sexually, because that's apparently how that works. I can't verify, but apparently it's how it works. And she wears, like, a seashell bra.
Wow, you...
That's hot. That's hot. It's hot going on.
See, I think it's Jasmine because she's a princess. She's very...
So is Ariel.
She's of a sea kingdom.
That's awesome! She has a crab and a fish as a friend. That's awesome.
Okay.
Anyway, with a great singing voice.
Jasmine is a princess. She's a very strong female character.
Yeah, too strong for me, dude.
Too strong? Well, you want a woman who can't speak.
Yeah, with legs, though.
And she's very exotic looking, and she has a pet tiger, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. Yes. Raja is real deal.
Yeah.
However, the problem is, because Jasmine is so fiery, she can get mad at you so quickly, and Raja's always going to side with her.
It's true.
So all of a sudden, not only do you have this very strong woman against you, you have her and her tiger against you.
Ah, dude.
In my situation, you got a fish. Who, by the way, not the smartest fish in the world. Flounder's not the smartest.
Yeah.
So, like, he's not going to like fully be mad at you because he's like, I don't really get what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got Sebastian, who I can easily get around little crabby man.
Sure.
No issues.
Sure.
But let's give a little love to Belle real quick.
Okay. Sure.
Oh, man. I think
Belle is just so, she's just so plain.
She ain't no plain Jane. She's a perfect, she's all that girl.
I mean, her name does literally mean, what, beauty or something like that?
She is a
beautiful,
perfect, she's all that girl. Bookworm nerd.
Mm-hmm.
She loves them books.
She's played by Rachel Lee Cook.
Dude, she loves painting in her overalls. I know someone's gonna be mad we're not saying Cinderella. Sorry, not buying it. Sure. Sleeping Beauty, not interested.
Hey, no one loves a narcoleptic.
Not a fan. Snow White, see ya.
Bye. Milk Toast.
What else we got?
Brer Bear. with a Rapunzel.
No. Wait. I mean, I'm not interested in all that hair. Okay. I'm really not.
How about not Elsa from Frozen, but her sister, her younger sister?
Yeah, you know, I'm not all about the Frozen.
Yeah, that's true. That's fine. But I'm kind of digging on that younger sister. She's very peppy. She's very lively.
Yeah, no,
and she'll keep you positive.
I think both of them are. Except one is literally an ice queen. So that's gonna go in the con category. I understand that they are now part of the Disney princess thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too new. It's not classic. Not classic.
Sure,
princess to me.
You want to go with the princesses you saw when you were becoming a man.
I want the princesses that made me a man.
We are missing the obvious one, Nala.
You know what? Had some things going on for a large jungle cat. Primo. Primo. I'm just saying. To me, it's an Ariel Belle toss-up. I can be talked into either, but Jasmine is too much. That's too much for me.
But Belle, she loves large, hulking men. And you, sir, are not a large, hulking man.
It doesn't mean she can't... No, she doesn't love large, hulking men. She hates Gaston.
Well, she loves beasts.
Not even a man, sir.
You're right.
So
you are
wrong.
Much closer to a beast than a man.
Thank you. Thank you. At least with my demeanor.
That's right.
So I'm going with, I'll say Ariel 1, but a very, very, very close Belle 2.
God, I gotta go Jasmine. And what is her goddamn name?
I don't know.
Elsa
and sister.
Hey, Elsa and the sister?
That is a combo I'm interested in.
That's right. Read the next question because I'm going to look up her name.
This is the final question I have for us here.
Oh.
This is from a young lady, once again assuming young lady, named Lydia and Wes.
Her name was Anna, by the way. Jasmine, then Anna.
Okay, all right.
Or Anna.
I think it's Anna.
That's probably Anna.
You know. Stupid. Not number five, just the last thing I'm going to read. From Lydia, one actor to cast in the biopic, if you will, of your life, Wes.
Oh.
And you get to embellish one story, like add one story to your biopic.
Oh.
Who is going to be the actor playing you? And what's the part you're going to add to the movie to put some butts in the seats?
To put some butts in the seats. Man. Well, obviously, I want someone like Daniel Day-Lewis to play me. But let's just... Are we going with who looks like me or who acts like me?
Yeah, just what... I mean, give me one of each.
One of each? Who looks
I mean,
like
you can't
me?
Just, you can't just be like, oh, you know Leonardo DiCaprio because he's so handsome and amazing.
Yeah, I mean, basically Brad Pitt because he looks and acts just like me.
So who'd you put in there?
If I was going on looks, maybe nowadays, honestly, probably be someone like Christopher Mintz-Plasse or something.
Who's
like
that?
Isn't that McLovin, the tall nerdy
kid
with the glasses?
Yep.
I think that's him, right?
Sure.
Sure. I'm going to look that up really fast. Using this handy dandy computer machine to look that up. But for someone who acts like me, I don't know, man. Do you have anybody for yourself as I give this a quick think?
You know, like, it's, I feel like since we're both tall, thin, dark haired dudes, like, oh, okay, so like Justin Long and the dude that played McLovin, and like, oh, what's Jason Biggs doing these days? I don't look like Jason Biggs, thank God. But there's no, like, you know, we don't fit the role of, you know, A type movie like Chris Pratt now, or like,
sure,
you know, balls out Jeremy Renner, you know, Robert Downey Jr., none of that.
Balls out Jeremy.
Jeremy Renner always sticking his balls out, putting in stuff. For those who don't know, it was a podcast like 50 ago where I explained my hate for Jeremy Renner. He's always putting his balls in your stuff. That's all you need to know. Jeremy Renner's always put his balls in your stuff.
Specifically your stuff.
My specific, God, all my stuff. Jeremy Renner's balls are in it. So I would probably cast Justin Long looks-wise, but hey, who's the dude that was in the movie Waiting and then in the Mac commercials?
That's Justin Long.
Oh, wait, who am I thinking of that was in who did the voice in How to Train Your Dragon?
That's Justin Long. No, I don't know.
No.
That's
he was also one of the main roles in the End of the World. No, This is the End. This is the End with
Jay Baruchel. Jay Baruchel.
Yeah, that I think I look kind of like a mix between Justin Long and that dude.
Okay, let me pull up his picture because we're gonna find out.
But I definitely talk more like Justin Long because the other guy has a weird voice.
Sure.
What's his name? Jay what?
Jay Baruchel.
Yeah, he's from How to Train Your Dragon and This is the End.
Yeah. I think I look like a cross between Ben Schwartz and Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
And so, Ben Schwartz is a guy from Parks and Rec?
I think so. I think he's from Parks and Rec. Yes, he is. He's also on House of Lies as well.
Yes.
But if I can embellish one part of my life.
Yeah, you can add one part in there that has to be somewhat true to the biopic part, but...
I want to make this clear. I love my life right now. I get to do this podcast weekly with you. I get to do some shows here and there. Get to be funny on stage every now and then. I do a weekly radio show, and I get to review shows. I get to actually review.
We get it.
Plays.
Your life's great. Your life's great, Wes.
But if I can embellish something, I would like my, I guess, quote unquote, comedic star to rise a lot higher than what it is right now. You know what I mean?
So in your biopic, would you like make an appearance on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Kimmel or something?
Tonight Show with Jim Carrey.
Jimmy Fallon, sorry.
A Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, yes.
Okay, so you made an appearance on that.
Yes.
In my biopic, I'm going to embellish the fact that I'm a war veteran.
I'm going to embellish the fact that I slept with less women. Nobody believed the amount I have slept with.
Something to add in there just to add some real depth to my character.
You should add like a bout with drugs.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, it would definitely add depth, but not the kind of depth I necessarily want to add.
A bout with too much candy. Cavities.
Steve had a horrible crippling candy addiction.
You know what I would embellish? A shoot back to me. I would embellish my almost weekly trips to the dentist. Just trying to overcome these racist dentists.
You know, I think I would, if we're doing the biopic of my life, I would probably embellish I would embellish my body. I would be like,
come on.
I don't want to be the, I guess I, it's so core to me that I'm the tall, skinny guy and I've never been strong. It's so important to who I am, I suppose.
You can't be like, what, Chris Pratt, or you can't have Dave Bautista playing you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need to be like Schwarzenegger from Pumping Iron or anything. Like, I want to look like a human man. You know. A man. I would want to embellish my facial hair. That's what I would want to embellish. and I mean that honestly, I have the grossest, patchiest, just little transplants hair that's come from other places. They're like to set up a small colony on my face. There, I have the worst facial hair in the world.
So this is going to add depth to your character?
Yes.
Okay. Let me explain to you about character depth, Steven.
See, this is why I delete everything when I write. I want to write a really deep character. He's got a goddamn amazing beard.
And what else? That's it?
I mean, what else do you need to know about this guy? He's got an awesome beard.
Yeah. His name is Beardman.
That's it.
Yeah.
Thing practically writes itself.
In our video game, Man with a Beard.
Done.
Yes.
Chris Pratt, Japanese style, with a beard. So, so I would basically cast Justin Long as myself, I suppose.
Sure.
And I would embellish, I would actually just embellish that I'm not, I would embellish that I'm a nicer person in my biopic.
Wow, that's a lot of embellishment.
I would not focus on the, well, that's stupid. I hate that.
All right, so who wrote that in?
That was Lydia.
Thank you so much, Lydia, for writing in. This one is from Nick. He writes in, hey guys, I'm graduating college this semester. What advice do you guys have for someone entering this crazy adult world?
Wow. Well, that's change.
Yeah.
I
would, my advice to you, Nick, is that if you want to get out of your hometown, do it. Don't put it off. Sure, if you want to stay at home for like 6 months and work and save money, sure, do that. But make it just 6 months. After 6 months, move to where you want to move to, and then boom. I was stuck in a situation where I was kind of stuck in my college town, then I was stuck in my hometown for a year or a little over a year because I was doing random professional shows here and there. So... It really sucked. So that's my advice for you. Move to where you want to move to.
My advice for you is travel. Go see things. Go have experiences. Don't, like, you're only going to be, what, 20, what are you, when you graduate, 22, 23?
20, he's 28, 29.
28, 22, perfect. you're only going to be in your mid-20s once, now that I'm now at 30.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you're... Of course, everyone is different. You might travel your entire life. You might not want to have kids, settle down, that whole thing. You might, you know, it's up to you. But my advice would be, in your mid-20s, go have experiences and keep that kind of college, you know, openness about you for as long as you can. And also make it a priority to stay in touch with your college friends and the friends that are important to you, no matter where you go. Whether it's if you do move out of your hometown or whatever it is to take a job halfway across the country, or, you know, I think it's whatever the thing is you've kind of figured out that you like to do. Maybe you don't like traveling at all. Maybe you just like playing video games and whatever. Like, whatever it is that you like to do, go do that and pursue it.
Sure.
That's what I would say.
I like that. I want to add on to that. You said have experiences.
Have experiences, yeah.
And... yes, I want to reiterate that. Yes, you're only in your early 20s once, and your liver is almost pristine at that point. So go have experiences. Yeah. Have a few crazy drunken nights.
Absolutely. And maybe that drunken night, if you live in Chicago, go have a drunken night in Nashville, you know,
or Romania.
Sure. I've realized one of the things that happens to me is I immediately take an idea, like when I hear something and I compartmentalize it immediately of like, oh, I can or cannot do that, or shouldn't and couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you try to keep the yes going. Like, yeah, I want to go do that. Fine, put a little money aside, if best you can, go do that. Just go have experiences. Don't worry about stuff. Go have experiences with people that mean something to you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I say.
That's interesting, because like, I go through that a lot, too. It's like someone invites me to a party. I'm like, yeah, but to get there, I need to hop on a bus and the train, then another bus. But But once I get there, I have a great time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you're not... Chances are, when you leave, you're not going to have that story like, dude, remember that time I didn't go to the party with everyone and I stayed at home and I watched There'll Be Blood for the fifth time? Memories! Awesome night!
Exactly.
Go do it. Just go do it. You're young enough to recover and not ruin your future. Just go... Go do it.
You probably have not had a two-day hangover yet, so live it up, my friend.
Do it. Go do it. Live your life.
What are you doing listening to this podcast?
Get
go do it.
Hopefully you're on an airplane going somewhere awesome.
That's right. Just have yes in your heart, people.
So thank you guys so much for writing in this very random group of questions.
Yes.
Absolutely appreciate it. We love hearing your guys' questions. We love hearing your top fives of ones we've done previously, the top fives you want to hear us do in the future. We just love hearing from you guys. And what's great, you guys are so nice when you write in.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
So nice. So people that think we suck, don't write in. And that's great. Like, let's keep that going.
You can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com. That's probably the best way to get a hold of us. That is 5playnet@gmail.com.
So hope you guys enjoy watching the Oscars this week, if that is your thing, despite the fact it's not really my thing either. But let's just see what the hell happens.
Sure.
And let's go Grand Budapest Hotel.
Woo!
Yes. So again, thank you guys very, very much. As always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was 5.
And we're out!